November, football season. All right, so now what do you guys got?
You know that older on mispractice yesterday, he had a baby. Obviously made some big plays in the secondary lately. What are the expectations on this level?
Same as for everybody. Be ready to go and go out there and do their best.
Is there a policy where if a player does have a baby, they're out for a few days?
It's really, you know, I coach a lot of players. I've coached a lot of players. Every player has their own personal situations that come up from time to time, be they babies, deaths, hospital visits, relatives, so forth and so on. So each one of them's different, and each one of them's about that individual person, what their needs are and what the situation is. So there's no like set rule or anything, because we're all different.
Well, wanted to ask you about Jordan Reed. Some of the guys in the locker room this week have said, and you guys have made this comparison in the past, but there are some tight ends in the league that seem more like receivers almost than they are tight ends, and they're, you know, some combination of the two. When you face a player like that, does it change how you defend him at all? Do you defend him more like a receiver than the tight end? What's the difference there, I guess, as opposed to going against somebody like Witten, who is a more pure tight end than a receiver, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, each player has their own individual strengths and weaknesses, whatever those happen to be. And I think you always want to be aware of what the player's strengths are and try to take those away. And if you can gain an advantage in some other where you feel like you have an advantage in that matchup, to try to be able to take advantage of that when you can or if you can. Again, on that side of it, sometimes, you know, when you're on offense, you keep players out of situations that you don't feel that are strengths for them. So, and that's what good offensive coaches do with their players. So, but you know, Reed's case, I mean, I think he's obviously one of their best players. They have a lot of confidence in. They go to him in a lot of critical situations. He comes through. They move him around. He's all over. So, I mean, he at times plays receiver positions where he's split out and detached from the formation. That's fairly common. I mean, he's in close more and he's split out, but he's split out more than a lot of tight ends are. So, you know, when you face guys like that, you gotta, you know, figure out the matchup that you want to be in, that you feel comfortable with. And, you know, he's made plays down the field. He's a very crafty route runner, knows how to get open in tight coverage. He's a big target, catches the ball well. So he's got a big catch radius. So you can kind of put the ball away from the defender where he can get it and the defender can't. He can come up with it. He's good in the red area. Good on third down. He has, you know, quickness to separate from man coverage. So, yeah, just trying to find the best matchup. But, you know, again, a lot of times it's hard to, you know, jam him or, you know, disrupt his route because he's extended, you know, as opposed to being in line. So, but, yeah, he does a lot of things well. And, you know, I'd say in their running game, you know, they, you know, use their tight ends, but a little differently than to say the Dallas offense as an example, and what the way they block a lot of times they aren't forced players or, you know, extended players. So that's really compatible with, you know, the skills of an athletic tight end. You know, it's similar to Eifert, you know, when Jay was at Cincinnati. I think, you know, Reed is kind of Eifert in the Cincinnati offense, if you will, you know.
Well, speaking of Jay, and you mentioned the other day, they're going to definitely run. They're going to be committed to that from what you've seen. Wondering, X's and O's, the difference in a West Coast running game versus, you know, a traditional running game, if there is, if you see any big differences, stretch runs or...
Yeah, well, that's all kind of changed. You know, when you go back to, you know, Paul Brown... You know, it's really, I mean, that is the offense. You know, what the running game was in the 70s, you know, when he was in Cincinnati, late 60s and 70s when he was there, and what it was out throughout the league is a lot different than what it is now. And so, you know, even in San Francisco when Walsh was there, it was a lot of two backs. You know, now most every team, you know, has one primary runner in the game. You know, very seldom do you see two runners. And so that's obviously been a big change. So it just depends on where you want to, you know, draw that line. We're going back, you know, call it 30 years of West Coast, you know, Ohio River offense, whatever you want to call it. And that running game has changed. I think what's probably stayed more consistent has been the passing game concepts. And then whatever running game you have, then you adapt that with that kind of Ohio River passing game. You know, whether it's zone runs, whether it's gap runs, whether it's 12 personnel runs, whether it's 21 personnel runs, you know, but the pass concepts, I would say there's a lot more carryover. But, you know, when you go back to what Coach Brown did, Coach Walsh, those are primarily two back sets, you know, with some one back sprinkled in there. You know, now you see teams that have West Coast background. I mean, you know, even when Mike and Andy and those guys, you know, but they've kind of transitioned, Mike Holmgren, you know, as they got in further into the career, they kind of transitioned into some more one-back offenses as well. So, but the passing game, I think there's still, you know, those core concepts, you know, kind of have stayed more constant than the running game.
So did Morris and Jones split their carries, or did you say that?
Yeah, it's some, you know, yeah. I mean, some version of that, yeah. Some games is more than others. Maybe it's a little bit of a, you know, who has the hot hand type of thing, but you're going to see both of them. You know, Thompson, Morris, a third down, sub back, although, you know, he's a good runner too. And they also use Morris and Jones some on third down, especially with Thompson, you know, having been out here. Those guys have played in that role. So, you know, I think there's a comfort level of using each of those guys on every down. But, you know, probably if it looks like Morris and Jones are more early down guys and Thompson's kind of their sub guy. But there's definitely some, you know, carry. It's not cut and dry. There's some carry over there.
So what do you think the key to the success of the pass rush has been this season?
You know, I mean, really, it's all tied into the coverage. And if you have the receivers covered, it gives the pass rush more opportunity. If you don't have the receivers covered, then even a good rush isn't going to result in the quarterback, you know, getting tackled probably. So and the interceptions are a result of pass rush, just like sacks are a result of coverage. And I think it's really team defense. So the better team defense we've played, the more production we've had. When an area of the team defense breaks down, then that affects the production, not just on, you know, in the catching end or the sacking end, but the other end too. So I'd say when you look at a lot of our sacks, you know, a lot of them are on three-man rushes. You know, a lot of them are on good coverage situations. And sometimes, or you know, we just come clean and, you know, make the play too. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything there. But overall, it's, you know, you need good coverage to have a good pass rush. You need good pass rush to have good coverage. So, you know, when those two have been in sync, we've been more productive. And when they haven't, you know, we've given up some plays.
This week, Trent Williams said that he thought Chandler Jones went from good to great at such a rapid pace. Just, I guess, in terms of development, what type of leap have you seen from Chandler this season?
You know, steady. I mean, you know, the big thing about Chandler this year is just, you know, his health. You know, he missed some time last year, came back and, you know, played well at the end of the year when he came back. But, I mean, this year it's kind of been, you know, good right from the very beginning. You know, hasn't missed time, has been able to practice more, train harder, work on his timing and techniques and execution with his teammates, you know, High and Jamie, and as well as the defensive linemen. So I think, you know, all those things are positives. But, you know, particularly with a, you know, relatively young player like like Chandler, you know, more time the player can be on the field and practice and work his techniques and work with his teammates and be aggressive because he has a full understanding of the calls or the adjustments or, you know, whatever it happens to be, and just be able to play aggressive and play fast. And I think all those things work in the player's favor.
Coach, after the Redskins win against the Rams, Jeff Fisher commented after the game just how much better Washington is up front, and he credited the coaching. How have you seen Bill Callahan's influence just change the Redskins' offense from what you saw with them in Richmond last year?
Yeah, well, I think Richmond's kind of a tough comparison because that was they hadn't even played a preseason game at that point. But I mean, Coach Callahan's one of, you know, to me, one of the best offensive line coaches in the league. I think he does a great job. His players play with good fundamentals and techniques, good pad level, good leverage, just good techniques and good footwork, especially on their combination blocks. But in addition to that, they do a great job with their scheme plays. They run different plays against different defenses, against different looks. Not a million of them, but, you know, each week there'll be a couple things that'll attack this team, and then next week there'll be a couple things that'll attack the next team, and so forth. So you're always, they always do a pretty good job of kind of, you know, when you're into the game or after the game, you realize, like, they, you know, they had a good plan there. They had a good attack. They got us to do this, and that opened up that, and, you know, whatever it is. They tie the passing game with the running game so that it's hard for the linebackers or the safeties, if they're playing down at linebacker level, sometimes to differentiate between the running plays, the passing plays, or if you're playing one, it's hard for you to play the other one, so they get you in a run-pass conflict. So I'd say, you know, Coach Callahan's done a good job of all those things, the fundamental coaching, the scheme, you know, in the running game, and then the overall, you know, coordination with Coach McVay and Coach Gruden, however that works in game planning and setting up and all that. I don't know who exactly does what, but, like, whatever part they have in it, it's pretty well coordinated, and it's pretty challenging to defend. They do a good job. You know, they do a good job of, you know, mixing the short, quick throws, possession passes, play action passes with, you know, chunk plays, you know, over routes and seams and things like that with, you know, shot plays like goes and posts and double moves and things like that. So they kind of attack you at all three levels of the defense in the passing game, and they definitely attack you from sideline to sideline in the running game. So they have a lot of outside plays. They'll have, you know, inside plays. They have misdirection plays. So you really got to defend from sideline to sideline and from line of scrimmage to the goal line, you know, on a pretty consistent basis. So that, so, you know, puts a lot of pressure on the defense.
Bill, you guys have run no huddle or hurry up offenses for years now, but we've asked you about it before, but I want to ask you, when you bring new players in, do you ever have to change the way you run it, or do you have to take certain things out or put certain things in because the personnel changing every year? Does it ever change the way you can run that kind of style of offense? And I guess the second part of the question would be, how important is just the conditioning factor to when you guys are doing that?
Yeah, well, conditioning is definitely important, and it's important for everybody. It's important for the big guys, obviously, because it's the big guys, but it's important for the, you know, the skill players, because they're the ones who are doing a lot of running, you know, run 40 yards, run back to the line of scrimmage, you know, run 30 yards, come back to the line of scrimmage, you know. So the conditioning part of it is important, and, of course, it's not just, you know, the conditioning, but it's also the thinking part of it. You know, it's being able to think quickly, make decisions. You know, if Tom changes a route or, you know, we call a play and then they run to their look and then we need to change it. You know, there's some quick thinking, quick decision making that needs to go on. That's really part of the conditioning process too. You know, it's definitely challenging to, you know, do that with new players. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen when you're trying to go fast and you don't have a lot of time to think or communicate. You kind of got to know what to do. So terminology, communication, and anticipation of, you know, all three of us, four of us, whatever it is, we all kind of see the same picture. We all need to see it the same way. We don't have time to talk about it, you know, because the ball's being snapped and we're going to go. So, you know, that part of it is challenging. You know, you also get some defensive looks that obviously aren't the way you're going to practice them. You know, they're struggling to get lined up. They're kind of scrambling. They're moving late because, you know, they're communicating on their end of it too. So, you know, normally when you huddle up and run a play, you know, the defense is going to, you know, you're going to be where you want to be and they're going to be where they want to be. And then, you know, you execute it from there. When you're going fast, that's not always the case. Sometimes they're kind of where you think they're going to be, and then sometimes they're kind of scrambling at the last second, a linebacker or a safety or somebody will go running over to, you know, get to where he needs to be on that call, and, you know, it happens late. So sometimes it works to your advantage, sometimes it doesn't, you know. So, but it's still being able to identify it, see it, and all be on the same page in a pretty short amount of time. So, I mean, it's challenging for guys who have done it, you know, multiple times, and it's even more challenging for guys that have less experience in that. There's no doubt. That's, yep. And you hear one word and or two words sometimes, whatever it is, but, you know, only a couple of words. Instead of calling out the whole play, the formation, the, you know, the protection, the play, the blocking, the route, you know, now you're just sometimes saying a couple words, and that tells everybody what the formation is, what the blocking is, what the route is, what the, you know, sometimes it's two plays, you know. So that can be, you know, the terminology can, you know, it's cut down to make you go faster, but, you know, you have to remember a lot more things where if you just hear a normal play, normally that will kind of tell everybody what to do. You know, you use three or four words to call a formation, and you use, you know, words to call out the backfield action, the run blocking, the protection, the strong side route, the weak side route, maybe a, you know, what the backs route is or what some auxiliary route is, just to tie that in. You know, now it all just becomes one thing. So,
Bill, do you like it when a player, like Malcolm Butler last year, he told us that he went to the coaching staff and said, I want a chance at DeSean Jackson and the joint practices. Do you like it when you hear that from a player, especially a young one?
You know, you take it with a grain of salt, you know. So it's just, I mean, it depends.
You have to.
Some guys want them, some guys really don't want them, but they want to kind of say they want them. Some, you know, it's, I've seen it go a lot of different directions. Right, I mean, I don't.
My next question.
If you've seen it go different ways.
Oh, yeah, you definitely have the guy who comes in there and say, hey, you know, can I get on number, you know, 68 this week? I mean, I could kill him. Let me get over there on him. You know, there's that side of it too. Or, you know, let me cover so and so. Like, I could really, you know, I could really get all over this guy. Oh, yeah, all right. How about taking the best guy? You know, what about that? So, but you know, we have a pretty competitive group. I mean, I think that, you know, on this team, there's a lot of those situations, you know, especially in training camp and when you're going against each other, you know, guys kind of, you know, get to the front of the line or get there where they're, you know, where they're matched up against, you know, another really good player, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, they have a little bit of a competition going there. And then certainly that carries over to, you know, our opponents. But, yeah, I mean, I think our guys, you know, like to go up against our best, you know, who they think are our best players, or go up against the other team's best player and, you know, try to, you know, but again, sometimes that's part of the game plan. Sometimes it isn't. And, you know, that's just something we kind of have to sort out, but I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing, you know, to want to take on their best guy. But I'd say we have a lot of guys like that. I wouldn't put, like, Malcolm's the only guy in that category. I mean, I wouldn't characterize it that way at all. But, yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen the other side of that, too, of, you know, even though I play over here at this position, if you put me over there somewhere else against the guy on the other side of the line, I think I got a big day against him. Or, you know, normally I would be covering this guy, but if you put me over here on this other guy who's not very good, I think I could cover him. Yeah, I've seen that, too.